Hello and welcome everyone to episode 145 of the AppDB's podcast. I'm your host Chris Rogers, and this week's episode will focus on the Aptera news for the period between December 31st and January 6th, 2024, which will be about highlights from the investor webinar last month. Hello everyone, I hope that you all had a great week. This week's episode is going to be a follow-up where I'm going to run through and post some audio clips from the investor webinar that was last month. I was able to listen to about maybe the first third of it or so, but I had a conflict with a work commitment. And so I'm very appreciative that the Aptera Owners Club YouTube channel, they recently posted the entire recording, which you can check out. I'll include the link to that in the show notes, and thank you very much for posting that. And so with that out of the way, I'm just going to do what I usually do, which is go through, post some audio clips, and then add a little bit of my response to, you know, what I thought of the highlights, starting with something that I'm really glad that they were able to do, because they've sort of spoken about this, but they haven't really put it together in terms of what it means with the production intent version, or the PI builds, that Aptera is now speaking about. If you recall, they no longer talk about those different Greek letter numered prototypes, alpha, beta, gamma, and the delta prototype. But now they're talking about their production intent builds and the production intent version. And so take a listen to this clip from co-CEOs Chris Anthony and Steve Famero, where they discuss the purpose of the production intent builds.
Which brings us to our PI builds here. So, Italy's taking care a lot of the mechanical nature of that PI builds, but eventually they'll come back here, and we're going to have to add the battery pack. We're going to have to add the solar. We'll probably have to add some of the interior and electronics, wiring harnesses, and then get everything working here.
And some of that is still a little bit undecided. You know, for example, it does make a lot of sense to have the battery pack there so it can drive on the boat versus being boxed up without it. But we don't want to be in the business of building packs here and then shipping them there only to have them come back. So there's still some details that we have to finalize.
But the longest lead tooling item is already taken care of, the body structure. We committed to that 14-15 months ago now. It's been a long road. It's cost a lot of money. It's really through all of your investment and support that we've been able to do as much as we have with CPC. But now we've got a big check mark by the body structure, and now we're working on the soft tools necessary for these first PI builds. So, all the plastic parts and, maybe some of the covers, like the inner fender and stuff, maybe soft tooled. Those types of things will have to come together over the next month. Then they'll get them here. We need a production intent battery pack. The battery team's done an amazing job at building us the very robust, and the most energy dense battery pack in the industry. So, we'll put that together and have that ready for the first PI builds, along with the solar team waiting to finalize some of their designs.
But the key thing to keep in mind with PI builds is that even in the early productions, first of all, everything that's safety related or structural is off process and off tool. Those are things that have been designed, released, on production tooling. But there's going to be lots of little things, side panels, this and that, that can be from soft tools, even in production.
And how those PI builds come together, the PI builds mean a lot of different things. They have to serve a purpose. They're not just pretty vehicles or vehicles for validation, for sending to suppliers to adjust performance characteristics and such. And we have a very detailed plan for the first 16 PI builds. And, the first three we illustrated on the screen here. But the first vehicle is really, powertrain testing, electrical systems.
And all of the PI builds were done in a way to, I'd say, minimize the amount of total expenditure. For example, the same vehicles that go through the same group of three vehicles that are tested by KW for the suspension, for the dampening and tuning of the suspension springs, then go to E-Ray for the ABS testing. So we're not making six vehicles for that purpose. We're taking three, doing the suspension testing, and then sending it to the ABS company afterwards. So we're saving money wherever we can. And also, on some of these vehicles, even P11, we're pretty confident that we don't even need the battery thermal cooling for this vehicle, because we only need the cooling in the extreme cases, like the extreme grades and fast charging. So for a lot of the early development that we need to do, Some of these won't even need battery cooling. They won't need HVAC, but they're all forward compatible. So once those items are released, they can be retrofit to any of these vehicles, because that's the idea of the progressive production intent.
But we know all of you are really waiting for PI2, because that's going to be the production intent representative pretty vehicle that you can sit in and drive. And, you know, obviously we'll probably have a big party here in San Diego when we finish up that vehicle, so people can come and see it and we can get press on what will be the future of solar mobility.
A few key takeaways here. The first is that a lot of the work that is being done either directly by CPC or with their input is really, it's the backbone of the vehicle. I guess what I meant to say is that CPC is such a critical part of the company. And that's obvious because they're making the composite parts of the vehicle, but they're also helping guide and direct other supplementary components of the vehicle that will be needed. In addition, Aptera has, it sounds like they've been really busy finalizing different components like the battery pack and the solar cells, so they'll be able to put everything together and finalize that all in one piece in the coming months. Aptera, it sounds like they're trying to be as efficient as possible in the number of production intent test vehicles that they're going to have, so that they can use them and reuse them, but also they're even looking at the number of required parts within those production intent builds, so that, you know, if a vehicle isn't necessarily going to need advanced levels of cooling for what they're testing, they're not going to put those components, they're not going to build them just for the sake of doing that. They're really, you know, I guess, dotting all their I's and crossing all their T's. And it warms my heart to hear about this level of detailed planning. Next, I want to share the summary of the fundraising efforts that they and what they've been spending the money on. Take a listen.
You know, we've made all of this happen with your support. You know, the investments thus far have gotten us a long way. We've raised over $110 million from the crowd now, from 16,000 investors, which is, you know, just an amazing number. And we continue to raise good crowdfunding as we push towards production. The accelerator program in itself has raised $26 million. Dollars. There's only 393 spots left.
I think that's less now. So, it was that this morning.
So things will get exciting as this gets down to 300 and 200 and 100.
I think once it's all said and done here and we can look at the history books, I think this will be one of the most capital efficient designs of a new vehicle ever. I mean, we've been able to do so much with this amount of money that in any comparative example that we've seen with OEMs or other vehicles, other companies, it's, you know, 5-10 times as much money. So we are both thankful for the investors and the accelerators, but we're also, we want to take note of just how much we've done with this money versus anything else that we've seen.
Yeah, most vehicle programs, even, you know, modern recent vehicle programs, you know, cost in the 3 to 4 billion, sometimes 5-6 billion. We've seen notable, you know, EV companies, you know, building pickup trucks that, you know, have spent a lot of money to get to production. You know, we're capital efficient in a lot of different ways. You know, the way we build our body structure is capital efficient. You know, the way we've, you know, designed our subsystems, you know, and leverage our supply chain is really capital efficient. And that means for an order of magnitude less money, we're able to put this vehicle to production. And it's been with your support that we've come this far. And with just a little more support and working through some of the term sheets we have now, we'll get the final support to get this thing to production in the next 9 months to a year.
I included this clip because I think it's important to emphasize as much as possible how the efficiency of the vehicle also applies to the sort of overall ethos and the way the company operates. And that includes fundraising. While they've raised over $100 million thus far, that's just a fraction of the billions of dollars that other electric vehicle startups have required in order to get their companies off the ground. But they're also not spending that money frivolously, and you know you're not hearing about massive parties or seeing them, you know, figure out ways to rope in celebrities to promote their vehicle. They're being very careful about how they spend that money, and that's how they're going to get to production with less resources than I guess some of the more heavy hitters. You know, now I wanted to move on to those first parts were part of the presentation, and now this goes into the Q&A portion of the webinar, where there were a lot of more interesting revelations. The first clip responds to the question of how soon they will get into production, which I know everyone is always interested in, including myself, so take a listen.
I've heard you would prefer to have someone make a $50 million investment to fast-track production, but do you also believe there's a way forward without that? When do you estimate you could begin production without $50 million, and what do you think would be the ongoing differences? We would love to have a fully funded plan. We would love to have that inspired billionaire write us a $100 million check and be able to, you know, make solar mobility happen quicker. But we've been slowly metering ourselves into production. We've been raising good crowdfunding money. Our expenses are low, and we're able to plow, you know, excess money that we get into tooling and equipment to build this vehicle.
So that $150 million initially has reduced it a little bit, and we can do more in tranches than we thought we could previously.
Yeah, it's, you know, if we don't get a big check, things just happen slower. So, you know, if we can, you know, turn one of these term sheets that we have now into a deal in the next 2 months, then we're on track to produce vehicles in 2024. If it takes longer to raise the money, it just delays the time in which we deliver our first vehicle. So you can imagine us still raising that $50 million, you know, maybe say over the next year, and that would just delay the start of production proportionally to when we could get that $50 million.
I think the next question was about the term sheet. So I know we can't say a lot of detail about it, but what can we tell people?
Yeah, I mean, we have several term sheets that they're all very different. Some are debt, some are equity. We have been considering some SPAC options, you know, reverse merger options. And it's really just choosing, you know, what's going to be right for Aptera's growth long term. You know, some of the terms of these deals maybe don't, you know, look as attractive in year two, year three, year five. So it's really just figuring out, you know, what's going to get us the most capital long term, what's going to get the vehicle into production quickest, and what's going to, you know, defend, you know, shareholder value and continue to build us towards an IPO.
Basically, it sounds like Aptera knows when they know that they're going to start production eventually and possibly very soon. It's just the only thing that is unclear is exactly it's a when, not an if question. So maybe that's 3 months, maybe that's 6 months, or maybe it's as long as 12 or 15 months, which wouldn't necessarily make people happy, but for me it's comforting to hear that Aptera is not, you know, speaking in sort of dire terms like, well, you know, based off our burn rate, based off the amount of money that we're spending, if we don't raise X amount of dollars or receive a certain amount of money by this date, we're doomed. And you see that all the time with startups, not just in with electric vehicles, but also just startup companies. It's more, well, if we don't get this, you know, some sort of inspired billionaire doesn't write a $50 or $100 million check, then we're just going to build more slowly, but we're still building these vehicles. I also thought it was interesting the explanation of the, you know, the different options in terms of debt and equity with these term sheets, which would explain why, even though they said, yes, we have these term sheets, they haven't announced them yet because they're not committed to any particular deal and they're still deciding what's best for the company. Next up was a short question about the number of parts for the vehicle, which again, you know, I'm always learning something new about Aptera, and take a listen.
How many total parts and sub-assemblies will there be? There's less than 10 parts, right?
Yes. Speaking, you know, kind of out of my depth, you know, Jordan and the supply chain team, you know, we have 172 major parts of the Aptera, so less than 200 parts, you know, total make up the Aptera. But if you broke down those parts, you know, there is over 1,000 individual parts. You can get the screws and the hoses and stuff like that. But, you know, we've broken the vehicle down into, you know, 12 zones. And of those 12 zones, there's, you know, under 200 parts that make up the whole vehicle. And if you compare that to a modern automotive vehicle, they'll have 10 times the amount of parts we have. So, you know, WWSD, what would Sandy do? Limit the number of parts to get your vehicle under production.
Best part is no part.
Yeah, best part is no part.
So I thought that was interesting because as much as, you know, in any vehicle ever that's been made, Aptera might be one of the first vehicles or the only vehicles that an amateur could completely take apart and put back together. And I'm oversimplifying it, but 172 total parts, even, you know, that's not counting this, the screws and the hoses, that's less pieces than you would find in most puzzles and many Lego sets. And yeah, that's, it's certainly more complicated than putting together a puzzle. It also sounds like because there's so few parts, you could basically look at an Aptera and diagnose problems probably relatively quickly because there's just so few parts that can even malfunction or go wrong. You know, you're not, it's not like when you look into, you open up the hood of some cars and you look at the engine and you're looking at hundreds of parts right there. With the Aptera, it's just maybe something is smoking and it doesn't look right. And so maybe it'll be easy to, or I'm hoping that means it'll be easy to repair. The next question addresses something that I've been wondering about, which is the, and I sort of alluded to this, but what exactly is the relationship with CPC?
It seems Aptera can't exist without CPC, since all body parts can only be made by them. How is a partnership with CPC structured?
You know, CPC is an amazing strategic partner for us. They've been there, done that. They are the automotive guys, and they do it at a level that, you know, very few in the world, you know, have accomplished some of these things. You know, the most beautiful supercars in the world have come out of that shop, and the most beautiful carbon fiber parts in the world have come out of that shop.
So. And some higher volume stuff that's confidential that they can't discuss.
Yeah, some very large manufacturers buy carbon fiber parts to reinforce their body structures, and a lot of pretty parts from them too.
Well, I think how it affects our relationship is, well, it affects the product. I think it reduces one of the biggest launch risks of the company, is that is the assembly of the vehicle. So we're focusing on what we're really good at here, and they're going to build the vehicle initially there, and they know how to do this. So they're not learning on the job. It's not their first time building a vehicle and putting all these panels together and mm-hmm. making everything align. So it really de-risks, I think, the whole endeavor by getting a safe, reliable, quality vehicle out there without us having to learn everything from scratch here.
It alludes to the previous question too, you know, the part count. You know, when we receive this body structure and closures and seals and hinges and glass from CPC, that will be complete. That'll be one part for us, you know. In our inventory management, we're managing this whole body structure and possibly all the metalwork too from CPC, basically a rolling chassis, and that's one part number. Then we just have to add our battery pack, our solar, electronics, you know, interior stuff, and we're done.
Now, Chris didn't exactly address directly how is that partnership structured with CPC, but it's obvious based off of that response how that partnership is benefiting Aptera, basically from that part what Steve said about de-risking the company. Essentially, this is something that you'll see in criticism of all startups, and it applies to Aptera, but people will say, you know, Chris Anthony, Steve Hambro, they've never built a car before. They're not part of the auto industry. What do they know about building a car? And it doesn't matter that they've gotten expertise from Roush or from Sandy Monroe and Associates. People question them, rightfully so, based off of their experience. But what Aptera has done with CPC is they've partnered with an Italian automotive giant that's building the entire skeleton and maybe the skin. And I don't know how far to take this contrived body part analogy, but they're making some of the most critical components of the vehicle. Sure, I guess to continue is that the muscle and the organs are maybe coming from other companies, but this, in a way, it's not that different from if the entire chassis of the vehicle was being purchased from Fiat or from Ford or from General Motors. That lends more credibility to the company in terms of what you can expect for the build quality of the vehicle. You're not doubting Aptera's build quality because yes, they're a startup. They don't have the experience, but CPC does. CPC has been doing this for decades, and Aptera has worked with them to figure out, you know, what would be best. But there's something that goes wrong with an Aptera and its build quality. It's not going to be related to the composites or any of these sort of soft components that CPC has done. It'll be from other stuff, and the parts that CPC making are some of the most critical and the ones that will cause, like, I mean, those are things that would lead to safety issues with other vehicles and would lead to a lot of problems and likely consumer complaints. In any case, the last question that I'm going to pull from the webinar directly responds to some of the predictions that I had in my end of the year episode. So take a listen to this explanation about when the validation will be completed.
When will the validation be completed? Crash testing, EPA, MPGE, range, and all of the automotive tests be completed? Let's say next year, 2024. Part of the PI builds is to do these tasks. In fact, I think there's five vehicles of the PI builds that are earmarked just for crash test.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually for the airbag manufacturer themselves. So it's part of not only the calibration and setup of the controller, the pre-tensioning of the seat belts and the airbag itself. They have to crash the vehicles and calibrate all of that together. So all of that is earmarked for next year. I can't give you a quarter or a month of when it's going to happen, but obviously it will happen before the vehicles are sold, but it should happen next year.
Yeah, a lot of the testing is contingent too, right? You know, the anti-lock brake system can't be calibrated until the suspension team is done with the dampening. So you got vehicles that kind of have to wait and go through one process before they can make it to the next process.
So it sounds like there's a few things that need to happen first in order to, and this would make sense, and I hadn't really thought about that, but you can't do the crash testing, and I think I predicted that this would happen within the first, in the first or the second quarter of the year, but you can't do crash testing until you know that the braking system is working, and you can't necessarily test the braking system until you know that the suspension and dampening system is working. And so there's a sequence that these need to flow into, and assuming everything goes well, then they will get to the crash test data. And so I guess that sounds, for me, I'm thinking that that's maybe a Q2 at the earliest, maybe Q3 with crash test data, where we'll start hearing about this is how safe the vehicle is, this is how it did, this is its anticipated safety or star safety rating. And they'll be talking about, I imagine this is when they're going to boast about, you know, their design makes it fundamentally safer than another vehicle with it, because it's rounded, because it's using composites that are able to flex in ways that metal crumples and doesn't deflect and spread out energy. Hopefully we'll, you know, maybe sometime before the fall of this year, we'll start hearing about it. I'd encourage you to watch the full webinar on the Aptera Owners Club YouTube channel. It might contain some other tidbits that you'd find interesting. Otherwise, I'm really glad that the Aptera Owners Club would share that so that I could listen to it and everyone can listen to it fully. And that concludes episode 145 of the AppTV's podcast. I hope you found this episode interesting. If you enjoyed the podcast, please tell a friend so that we can continue to grow the Aptera movement. I also include my referral link in the show notes, which you can use for $30 off your $100 refundable deposit on an Aptera. AppTV's is available on all major podcasting platforms, including your favorites, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and pretty much anything and everything that's out there. If you have any questions or feedback, including corrections, please send those to appevspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you to OS50 for the song Movies, and in the words of Jeff Cannata, think about what you put out into the world. Make it a better place.